Would somebody please tell me what's going on? I hope it is. Anyway, I'm Dean Moyer, and it's my joy to be able to welcome you to University United Methodist Church. Now, I'm supposed to tell you all this stuff in this pink folder, but I'm glad you're here. Whatever you feel you need for your spiritual journey, we hope you will find it here with us. That God will speak to you, and maybe some people from our church will speak with you. If they do not know you yet, they will know you, and you will know them before you leave. There are slips. There's a black folder like this, and in it are pink and yellow, or purple and yellow slips. If you're a visitor for the first time, or think of yourself as still a visitor, you may use that yellow slip. If you think you're a regular attender, you may use the purple one. And if you would like to leave a prayer request, you may. And if you would like it read by the pastor, you'll be passed it in when they ask for those. There are visitor folders, and they are pink like this on the table back there, or on the table as you go out there. You can look for those and pick up one. But pass the black folder. I'll say more about the black folder in just a moment. I'm trying to figure out if I know where I'm going, but I'll keep talking fast enough. And we do have one announcement that seems to be important for it to be made. So I'm going to ask Cindy if she will come. Yep. Cindy, you may come right now. And she's going to speak about a school project. There you are.
Okay, go ahead.
We have a school project going up in my classroom, so we have to raise up money so we could like fix up abandoned houses so the homeless people have somewhere safe and a good place to stay, not on the street. So I came to y'all because I know y'all was very supportive when I did my other fundraiser. So I want y'all to help me like raise up money so we could fix up the abandoned houses.
Okay, Cindy, that's great. And they can talk to you after the service, can't they?
Uh-huh.
And find out what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for your announcement. And thank you for your concern for you and the other kids at school. Quickly, Renegade Gospel Studies continue. There's one 12:45 Sunday morning, one 6:30 at my house tomorrow night, and one Friday afternoon at 12:30 here at the church in the chapel room. Now, in the bulletin, there are certain announcements I will just mention, but please keep your bulletin. Take it home with you. It tells you about school kits. It tells you about the church and society meeting next Sunday. It tells you about the Acts Banquet. So take that bulletin home and read it. We are beginning to get ready with Easter flowers. And when you leave by that door, you'll find a table, and someone will be glad to have you sign up for Easter flowers at that point. Now, in the black folder, you'll find an envelope for the UMCOR offering. And be sure now to pass that folder down the row. Look at it. Take what you need from the folder. And the one thing, well, I'm going to mention this in a second. Right now, I'm going to have Stephanie say a word about... You tell them.
All right, good morning, everyone. Oops. So, in about a month from now, we will be marking the 100th day of the Trump administration, and there are one big march planned in Washington, D.C. It's by the People's Climate Movement, and we're marching for climate, jobs, and justice. So it encompasses many different reasons and causes for marching. Among them are finding solutions to the climate crisis that are rooted in economic, social, and racial justice. We're marching for immigrant rights. So if you are concerned about any of these issues, please see me. We're trying to get a group together of people to go down to Washington, D.C. to march together. If you really like this idea and aren't able to make the trip, there's going to be a sister march. So very similar to the marches right after the inauguration. And we'd love to have a group from UUMC represent the church at that sister march in Syracuse. So if that sounds like something you'd like to participate in and it's a great chance to make your voice heard, please see me. You can grab, we have some small sheets that will be available in the back. Please take one of these. You can contact me either by phone or email. And let us know as soon as you can so we can start figuring out the logistics of going down to D.C. Thank you.
Carefully, I will step up. I had an opportunity Wednesday evening to see the newer National Geographic movie that relates to climate change. It was a tremendous movie. Art Rage was packed. They're trying to reschedule it. But Stephanie would love to have some of you go to Washington with her. But those who can't go to Washington, be sure to put April 29th on your calendar to take part in the local event. Now, in this black folder, and I will finish with that now, is a sheet like this that tells about two workshops being held by Terry Hershey. And you can use this as a sign-up, or you can sign up online. And in just a moment, you're going to see a video which might answer any questions someone has about who in the world is Terry Hershey. Some of us already know and we're looking forward to his workshops and to his Palm Sunday sermon for us. But now we're ready for the video.
When people ask me what exactly they need to do in sanctuary, I'm very reluctant to give people a list of five things. I mean, I can tell you, for example, my sanctuary is my garden. Every morning for 20 minutes, my garden. But it defeats the purpose to tell you that that has to be your sanctuary. What's more important is what takes place there. And there are two things that take place there. One, I really do feel like I don't have to prove my identity or my value or my worth. In other words, I literally do feel connected in my skin. I literally do feel at home. And the second thing that takes place there is I slow the pace down. So sanctuary is something that slows the pace down. Because when I slow down, I literally am present.
I'm so honored to say that I'm the pastor here. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood, and it's so great to see all these friendly faces here. So welcome. This season, the season of Lent, we are remembering the text from Amos, "Let justice roll down like waters." And so today we have, and throughout Lent, we have this waters flowing down and right to our baptismal font to remind us of our baptismal vows. Which was actually the original reason for Lent, was to get ready to be baptized and become a Christian. So, we have added some fish here. Last week we had our frustrations with the church written on our fish, and they are among all the other touching the waters of justice to be placed there and in love. So Lent is a time of reminding ourselves of who we are called to be in this world. Our Lenten series is inspired by Amos, a prophet whose message is that God calls us to let justice roll down like waters. Amos says, I reject your festivals. I don't enjoy your joyous assemblies. Take away the noise of your songs. I won't listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Our worship without justice is not acceptable. Rather, our songs must move us to action on behalf of the oppressed. Through powerful music and the remembrance of our rituals of baptism, the origins of Lent, this season will offer us reflection and renewed inspiration to let our voices be tuned to the heart of the gospel, proclaiming God's love for all people. Jesus consistently chooses love. When it would be easier for him to appease the powerful religious leaders and Roman-backed authorities, he chooses love. Even as his friends disappear and the crowds that once shouted, "Hosanna," turn on him with shouts of, "Crucify," he chooses love. Even after betrayal and humiliation, even when he is dying, he chooses love.
Good morning. I'm Joyce Flynn, and I'll be your liturgist this morning. Welcome to everyone, visitor or regular member. It's great to see everyone out there. Please rise if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Holy and living God, to choose you is to choose love. Nudge us towards the reconciliation that ushers in right relationship. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Roll down justice. Roll like an ever-flowing stream. Roll down justice. Roll like an ever-flowing stream. Flowing stream. Roll.
We have a tradition of greeting one another by shaking hands and saying, "Good morning," or "Peace be with you." I invite you to pass the peace of Christ with your neighbors today, saying, "Good morning," or "Peace be with you." When you hear the music start to play for our opening hymn, "What Wondrous Love Is This," number 292 in the pew hymnal and displayed on the screen, please return to your seats at that time.
What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul? To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of life to lay aside his crown for my soul, to lay aside his crown for my soul. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be. And through eternity, I'll sing on, and through eternity, I'll sing on.
Everyone, I don't, are there any children that are out there that want to come forward? You're welcome to come forward. If you would like to join us up here, the children came up during our hymn. I'm so glad you're here. So, I'm glad you're here. Let's start with our prayer, okay? Ready? So what we have to do is get in a tight, remember, we start the prayer for Lent in a tight ball. JJ, you too, you want to join us? Will you join us in the prayer, squished up? Eric? And once I pause, then we open up, all right? You ready for this? All right, how are we doing? Are we close to the edge? I don't want anyone falling off while they open up. Why don't you come this way a little bit, JJ, so you don't fall off. Okay, we're all squished up. We hold on to power. We hold on to greed. We hold on to things we don't really need. We hold on to hatred. We hold on to fear and close ourselves off till we can't feel you near. Open our hands, Lord. Help us let go. Open our minds so your justice may flow. Open us up so your peace can pour through and make our hearts ready so we can hold you. Amen. All right, thank you for praying with me. I think we have our little box over there, right? So we're building a church. I'm going to come down, I think. So we're building this church, right? Remember that? We're building the church through Lent. And we have things in here that will help build our church, one that God will be pleased with. And so in here we have our name tags, right? Because we are all precious child of God. And we have our tissue box, because it's okay to feel real feelings here at church. And so we have tissues in there. And, I have another tool. It's in here somewhere. Where did it go? Oh, here it is. It's a pencil with an eraser. And, I forgot about the other thing that we have, that purple. Remember the bigger purple box? If you weren't here last week, you remember we had a big purple box? Well, that's now in the back for our crayons and our coloring books and stuff. And we're using a smaller box because this is all we really need, and we don't want to take more than what we need. So I have a pencil and a good eraser. And I don't know if you guys know this, but sometimes I make mistakes. And sometimes they're little mistakes, and sometimes they're big mistakes. And so one of the mistakes that I did is that I wrote this. And I'm really not happy about it because it was a really big mistake. And I'm going to see if I can erase it. All right? Because I really feel bad about this mistake that I wrote this word. What word is this? Hate. I'm very sad that I wrote it. So I'm going to see if I can erase it. And I actually brought a big eraser, because I thought that the little eraser might not be big enough. And I'm going to try to erase this. Let's see here. Nope, it's not working. I can't erase it. Yeah? It's marker and it won't erase. So maybe I can scribble it out and nobody will be able to see it. Nope, you can still see it even though I scribbled on it. Boy, I feel really bad about this. I feel really bad that I wrote this. No matter how hard I try, I can't make the word go away. Maybe if I use, I did that. And, I can't pretend I didn't write it, because I did, and I'm really sorry about it. A pencil with an eraser is a great tool, but sometimes it's about having the right tool for the job, and this isn't quite the right tool, is it? Because it didn't erase my marker, and it didn't scribble over my marker. I think I might need a different kind of a tool. Oh, wait a minute. Look at this. I have some blank paper in here. Maybe I can use this tool. So how about I write a new word that I'm not going to be sad about or think that I made a mistake? So what did I write?
Love.
I wrote the word love. And I'm proud of that. I don't think this is a mistake. So what do you think are some words that we could write on the paper that might be good for to have in our church that would be good to build a church? What do you think? Yeah.
Forgiveness.
Kind. Communicate. All really great words. Okay, so if you have a word in mind, it could be even love, or it could be kind, or it could be communicate, it could be forgive, it could be love. Whatever you want to write, why don't you get out of your hand, like it, pretend it's a piece of paper, and then use your one finger. I'm going to do opposite because I'm left-handed. But so use your finger, and that's your pen or pencil, okay? And I want you to write your word down on your hand, okay? Whatever word you want to write on your hand for our church. Okay, you ready? You got it written down? Okay, now put it to your heart. Put that word to your heart and breathe in and breathe out and say, Amen. Because that's our prayer. Well, thank you for being with me and helping me build this church of love and forgiveness and kindness, and where we can make mistakes and say we're sorry. Because sometimes we make mistakes and others need to forgive us, but sometimes people do something to hurt us and we might be the one who needs to say, I forgive you, when we're ready. All right. Well, thank you again, and I am very excited to say that as you go back to your seats, the choir is going to sing. Amen. That was so beautiful. Thank you, choir. During Lent, our middle hymn is sung responsively to our scripture and our prayer poem. So it's kind of like we do with the Psalms in our United Methodist hymnal, where the psalm is part of the psalm is read, and then we sing and read and sing. So we're going to do it that way throughout Lent. Each time someone is baptized, the whole church body gathered, the whole church body gathered also makes vows. One of the things we promise is to be a community of love and forgiveness. Each day we must choose between letting the difficult things about life create resentment in us, or allowing the work of forgiveness to make way for love. Our song of justice this week was written in response to a modern-day act of forgiveness by an African-American church in Charleston, South Carolina, after the tragic shooting of members of their Bible study group. We are reminded of the power of Jesus' forgiveness, even on the cross.
In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, sorrow falling down like rain, I await the sun again. I choose love. I choose love. In the midst of war, I choose peace. In the midst of war, I choose peace. In the midst of war, hate and anger keeping score, I will seek the good once more. I choose peace. I choose peace.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. And this reading is from the Common English Bible today. They also led two other criminals to be executed with Jesus. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." They drew lots as a way of dividing up his clothing. The people were standing around watching, but the leaders sneered at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he really is the Christ sent from God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him. They came up to him, offering him sour wine and saying, "If you really are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above his head was a notice of the formal charge against him. It read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus insulted him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him, "Don't you fear God, seeing that you've also been sentenced to die? We are rightly condemned, for we are receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise."
When my world falls down, I will rise. When my world falls down, I will rise. When my world falls down explanations can't be found. I will climb to holy ground. I will rise.
Our prayer poem by Bishop Latrell Miller Easterling this morning is Rock of Ages. Let us pray. Rock of Ages, when there is no other place of refuge, when violence awaits every move and evil lurks in the shadowy places, there is yet a hiding place in you. As forces conspire to press in from the east and the west, the north and the south, your guiding presence leads us to shelter in the quiet center. The weary find rest in your being. The distraught, a source of renewed hope. Those who are about to succumb gain fresh strength in your sheltering hand. The storm passes. The winds cease. Evil flees. Darkness vanishes. And those whom you have covered will rise with the dawn, and those whom you have covered will triumphantly rise. Amen.
In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, sorrow falling down like rain, I await the sun again. I choose love. I choose love.
Well, good morning again. I'm glad to see all of you. So this morning I had a little mishap where my computer that had my sermon on it was at my home, and I realized that at 10 minutes to 10, and so I ran home and ran back, so a little disheveled today, so please send me some grace, and will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you that this community of people come together to find strength in you and find strength in each other. Please let whatever I say, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, somehow speak to someone here. I praise you, and I thank you for all the goodness that has come. Amen. Okay, so I got my clicker going. So we're and I have a sermon, which is good, somewhat written down. So I thought that I would start today with one of our favorite subjects in church. Church drama, right? We like to talk about church drama. So I would like to tell you a story of a church that I read about that is not in the Crossroads District. Just so you know, I'm not talking about one of our sister churches, okay? Because you might think I am, but I'm not. So in this church, it was found out through many questions that the treasurer of the trustees had spent $21,000 of the trustees' funds. And it came to be known because when questions were asked, the treasurer would kind of not answer the question and kind of dodge the question. And so it became more and more clear that something was going on that was not so good for the books. And so the church, they loved this person because she was a part of their family, their church family, for years and years. And they loved her. And they kind of didn't want to think to themselves, oh boy, it's her. But they had to come to terms with it. And so they did. So what do you think the fair thing to do? What do you think is the fair thing to do? What do you think the church should do? Restitution, I hear. What else? Find out why. I heard something in the back. Be forgiving. Okay. Well, so what the church decided to do was to get a mediator. And they decided to use restorative justice. And so the mediator came in and worked with the group. Now, restorative justice only works when the person who's been harmed, the person who has harmed, and the community around them are willing to work together. And so this restorative justice takes place only in community. So one of the pieces of restorative justice is that the person who has harmed gives their own sentence. They decide what their consequences are. And so in this setting, the treasurer decided that many things, I don't remember everything, but one was that she would pay it back in weekly or biweekly or something. She would enter counseling. She would start being counseled and find out why she did this. And one of the other things I remember is that she would do community service outside of the church. And if any of these things didn't happen, all the things that she set up that she said she would do did not happen, that the church would then press charges and she would go to jail. So they did this through Just Peace, which is a mediation. I wrote it all down. What is it called here? Well, I can't find it quickly, but it's mediation and here it is, mediation and conflict transformation. So I just wanted to bring that to you in this setting when we're talking about choosing love. Our scripture today, a couple things. Luke, just to give you some context, the author of Luke and the community that Luke was in was a group that gathered. This was written between 85 and 95 CE, and the group gathered was Jewish, Gentile, Roman, and other. So I don't know if that means non-Roman, I don't know. But you could see that it was an inclusive group. And according to scholars, justice is a pervasive model in the Luke Acts scripture. So we find this as we read our scripture today. Now, one of the reasons that scholars say that there were Romans as a part of this community is because in other Gospels, the Romans were made out to be more bad guys than in this one. So that's one of the reasons that they're saying that. And I'll get to the reason that they say justice comes through over and over in the scripture. So our scripture today from Luke has layers and layers of love and forgiveness. As we move towards Holy Week, the remembrance of Jesus' end of life story, we are reminded of many of Jesus' teachings, especially forgiveness. Jesus calls out to God asking forgiveness for all those around him as he is put to death. Jesus stays true to his teachings. He peacefully lets the crucifixion happen. As violent as it is, Jesus remains non-violent. He asks for forgiveness of others. Is this what we imagine a king does? Would a king just let things happen and offer forgiveness? Most kings of Jesus' day, and probably of our day, would have to come to power through violence. And not giving up power without violence. And yet, the sign above Jesus said, "This is the King of the Jews." In this, God turns the human understanding of power on its head. One of the criminals repents and asks Jesus to remember him. Jesus accepts and forgives this man, this criminal. Jesus, the King of the Jews, is able to, has power to, forgive, even in his vulnerability. Wow, that is power. That is power. The power of forgiveness that Jesus taught was one of love. Forgiveness is not only healing it's not only healing for the forgiven, but also for the forgiver. Our brothers and sisters in Charleston
offered forgiveness out of the love of neighbor and, I imagine, love of self. The words of our hymn today, I Choose Love, are so profound. In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, sorrow falling down like rain, I await the sun again. I choose love. And when this happened, and I walked into the living room, I knew of the mass shooting in that church. I knew of that. But when I walked in and heard the people of the congregation forgiving the killer, I honestly just started to cry. And I just thought, wow, they are true Christians. And I'd just like to remind you of this.
Although my grandfather and the other victims died at the hands of hate, this is proof. Everyone's plea for your soul is proof that they lived in love and their legacies will live in love. Hate won't win.
Tawanza Sanders is my son, but Tawanza was my hero. Tawanza was my hero. We enjoyed you, but may God have mercy on you.
We would like you to take this opportunity to repent. Repent. Confess. Give your life to the one who matters the most, Christ.
The pain doctor was my sister. And I too thank you on behalf of my family for not allowing hate to win. We have no room for hate, but we have to forgive. I pray God on your soul. And I also thank God that I won't be around when your judgment day comes with him.
The strength of faith of the people who had just had their family and friends murdered because of hate. They chose love. They chose forgiveness. All I can say is wow. Wow. I hope that myself and others here would also choose love. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not easy, but to choose love. Because I always have a choice, I choose love. Today, as a part of our worship, we're going to sign the Charter for Compassion. It's in black and white over there, and I'm going to bring it over at the end, during and after our postlude, and put it right on the communion table, because I think that it's symbolic that on the table, at the Lord's table, we sign the Charter for Compassion, and we're going to sign it with a whole bunch of colorful markers. So our black and white poster will become very colorful in diversity and in compassion. So I'll close with this. In the early days of Christianity, they would have a kiss of peace, and I know that this is a tradition still in some churches. This was because, for a couple of reasons. One is, before one could receive Holy Communion back in the day, not now, but back in the day, early Christianity, one needed to reconcile with every single person in the community before they could receive Holy Communion. So if someone had upset you and you needed to forgive, or you needed to say I'm sorry to someone else and they needed to forgive you, this was a time when they did that. And now we have the passing of the peace where we shake hands and say good morning or peace be with you. But I think about this, and I read that it was as strange then as it would be today to kiss each other. And I think about all the germaphobes then and now. But what a beautiful idea that we offer peace and we come to peace with all those in the community before we receive Holy Communion. And the other reason that they did this is because not everyone in the family might be Christian. And so the Christians who were in the community of faith had another family, their Christian family. And so they would have the kiss of peace and say hello to each other as family. And that's why it was so intimate with a kiss, not just a handshake. So today I invite all of you to turn to each other and say, we are family, or you are family. And that's how we're going to close my sermon. And then we're going to sing I Choose Love one more time.
When my world falls down, I will rise. When my world falls down, I will rise. When my world falls down, explanations can't be found. I will climb to holy ground. I will rise. I will rise.
I invite you to close your hands, making a tight fist if you're able. Lent can be a time of giving up something as a sign of penitence, as they did in the Middle Ages. This season, we will contemplate what we need to give up in order to let justice roll down, to let justice prevail in our lives, in our church, and in our world. I invite you to imagine those people and acts that you are finding hard to forgive. Now slowly open your hands, letting go of the tension there and anything you may be holding on to, and imagine that cool water is flowing into and over them. Let us pray. We come before you, O grace itself, knowing that we hold on to resentment, distancing ourselves by a wall of fear or anger. In doing so, we cut off the lifeblood that flows between us. Forgive us and open us to your refreshing water of life. When we are faced with a choice, help us choose a love that makes us closer to compassion and courage, to speak up and stand up for what is right and good. Amen. If you would like your prayer read as a part of worship today, please write it on your yellow or purple slip that you found in your black folder. And you can hold it up, and our ushers are going to come down the aisle, and they're going to receive them, and we'll start our prayer time. Let's sing together.
Let justice roll down like water, and righteousness like a flowing stream. Let justice roll down like water, and righteousness like a flowing stream. Let justice roll down like water, and righteousness like a flowing stream. Let justice roll roll down like water, and righteousness like a flowing stream.
In this silence, we open ourselves to pray for all of creation, for the things left unnamed, the hurts of which we are unaware, and for the deepest yearnings of our hearts. Let us pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer, and then the Lord's Prayer in unison. God of love and compassion and justice, thank you for the coming of spring and the promise of longer, warmer days bringing the grass, trees, and flowers back to life. We recognize our responsibilities to your world and the importance of protecting your air, your land, and your water that you've blessed us with. God of love and compassion and justice, forgive us for the times we have ignored injustice and have failed to be as generous with our love for our neighbors as you are in your love for each of us. God of love and compassion and justice, help us to be bearers of peace and love in this tumultuous time. We pray for our leaders that they may work cooperatively and constructively with each other for justice for the most vulnerable, and to have our country stand for and work for peace in your world. And now let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. During Lent, we will be contributing to the waters of justice each week by writing words on paper fish that will be added to our ever-flowing stream. As we take our offering today, I invite you to write either the name of someone with whom you desire reconciliation or simply write the word forgiveness. These will become part of the waters and God's promise for transformation. The children will collect the fish during our closing hymn. If you need more fish, raise your hand and the ushers will help you. As we enter a time of giving, I'd like to remind everyone to please place your attendance slips that look like this into the plate as our ushers come down the aisle. I'd like our first-time visitors of the church to know we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. We are grateful that you are here. Yet we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University Church. So as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings. Let's take a moment now to reflect on the words we just spoke together as the choir sings Mark Miller's interpretation of the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
please join me in the prayer of dedication as displayed on the screen. For the gift and possibility of reconciliation and forgiveness, for the way in which these offerings can help us choose love, for the gift of this community bound and working together. Please remain standing and join in the final hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 140 in your hymnal and is displayed on the screen.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassion they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, my own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine within 1,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Please be seated. I'm not sure what that is. Well, I asked you to be seated because I have a few things to say, and I didn't want you to have to stand while I said them. So today I'm very excited because we have a postlude that is with Dennis Triggs and Brad Bowers. We'll have the tuba and the organ playing, and it's going to be spectacular. But I also would like us to sign the Charter for Compassion. And so at the very end of that, I'm going to bring the charter over, and I'm going to place it on the communion table so we can all sign the Charter for Compassion. Now, I want you to remind you, I've talked about this before, but just remind you that I first heard of the Charter for Compassion through Jim Wiggins the summer of 2015. And I know that he worked diligently with Dr. Pollard. I'm so sorry. Pollard. to get the Compassionate CNY signed and our city and our county to be on the Charter for Compassion. So I just want to remind you of that legacy as we sign this Charter for Compassion, okay? And of course, there's many other things to do, including Easter flowers out there, coffee and conversation back there, et cetera, et cetera. So I invite you to reflect. Wrong spot. Throughout Lent, we will join together in our benediction. I will speak first, and then we will all speak together. And finally, we will sing the song, May Peace Flow. Then I invite you to reflect for a while as the postlude is played. And then we can sign the Charter for Compassion. As counterintuitive as it may seem, let us see the hard work of family being family together as movement toward God's justice in the world. Remember, we have choices. Let yourself be overcome by an unfathomable willingness to make the first move toward reconciliation. I invite you to turn toward the center of the sanctuary, facing each other as a congregation, and say and bless each other with the words that I'll say, and then you can repeat. May the song you sing in your heart be pleasing to God. May the song you sing in your heart be pleasing to God, moving you to the passion and compassion of Jesus. Lifted by a spirit that keeps you humming life's tune of love. Amen.
Through me, as the music through an instrument, let it flow through me like the warmth from the sun. May peace flow through me, so that I may be a vessel of the love of God for everyone. For everyone.